it. Bye-bye.
This is your Orioles Radio Network Game Rewind.
In Texas tonight. Yeah, another hot night in Texas. Orioles here tonight trying to get back in the win column. They've lost three straight. Last night, Chris Tillman, 101 pitches in only 4 1/3 innings, kind of wilting in the Texas heat. The Skipper Buck Showalter right after this.
Back in Texas, and we're with Skipper Buck Showalter. This is the manager's report. Buck, about the game last night, Chris Tillman, obviously tough night, a lot of pitches, few innings pitched. As you're watching the game intently from the dugout early in the game, how soon can a manager tell if that night's pitcher might have a tough night?
Well, you got to take the history with him. You know, Chris has been a guy that struggled a little bit early, then falls into place, and sometime will pitch six or seven innings. He's coming off two good outings, and you're hoping that's going to happen. But, you know, if you're looking for excuses for him, I talked to Chris today. He said his whole body was cramping up off and on during the outing. I think that may have something to do with it. You know, he said he felt fine between innings. You know, I noticed that he was doing some gyration, so to speak, out there that he doesn't really do, but he said he felt fine, and that's kind of Chris. I think looking back on, I wish he'd been a little more frank with us, because you keep waiting for that track record to kick in of how he usually pitches, but didn't happen. And looking back on it, maybe he said he, and it's tough. I'll tell you this though, Joe, I think summer in Baltimore, when it's like it has been, is tougher than here. I do, because there's some air moving around. There wasn't that much humidity last night. I mean, it was hot. Let's face it, it's 100 degrees. But, you know, that's playing summer baseball. So, Chris is going to have to do a better job of hydrating.
It's a good point, dude, because I know that early in the game, Wellington asked Tillman if he felt okay. And I guess we know Tilly. He's going to say, I'm fine.
Well, it's a personal pride, and you know, everybody's scuffling some this type of year. But with the other team we are, it's a physical challenge, and that's part of what makes it so gratifying if you can get through it.
All right, let me ask you this, Buck, because no manager that I've ever known likes to get the bullpen going early in the game just to warm up. So at that point, does your gut come into play when you make that decision to get that bullpen going?
Well, we have three different modes down there. You may have seen Blyer up there, but he was just playing catch, because there's a time period when you call down there. You don't want too much time to erode. And in order to keep a bullpen healthy, you can't get them up, get them down, get them up, get them down, get them up, get them down. That's a recipe for injury and fatigue. So, Richard was just playing catch on the rubber because, you know, they go through a process where they got their glove, they got the ball, they got the catcher, they got, you know, that takes sometimes a minute to get going. So we try to get ahead of that. There's the first call is you get on the mound with the ball, playing catch, and then for instance, last night, if the next hitter's on, you go hot. And you try to be careful about getting a guy hot more than one time. And I think that's one of the reasons why our guys have stayed so healthy over the years.
You mentioned Richard Blyer. Interesting mention because, like 3 runs in 31 innings? I mean, why has he been so good?
Richard's got, the cutter. He can sink the baseball. And he's not afraid. The guy, has throw strikes. He's a guy that people will say, well, why can't he start? But there's a part of you that realizes how important the job of McFarlane or Worley, when you can find a guy that can do that job. And one of the reasons why we've been able to stay on our feet in the bullpen through some of the bad starts is because of Castro and Blyer able to come in and pitch multiple innings and keep us from having to make a bunch of moves. And last night was another example that Michael Givens needed to pitch last night, but I want to shorten his outing to 2 hitters. He'd had 4 days off, and like Brad Brock needs to pitch today. So there's a time where you want to back off them, time where they need to pitch.
Again, back in Texas, Buck Showalter, as we continue the manager's report, got to ask you about Jeremy Hellickson. Your thoughts on acquiring him?
He's had some background of pitching well in the big leagues in years past. You know, he's had some struggles in the National League this year, hopefully getting back to some familiar environment. I won't really know when he gets here. We're going to have to shake some things out because obviously we got six starters now. Roger and I have been talked with Jeremy. Jeremy and his girlfriend were going to the airport today and had somebody rear-end him, and he seems to be okay, but they were at the hospital when I was talking to him, and Roger's talked to him a couple of times. So he instead of coming here, he'll meet us there. If everything goes well and he gets in, then he'll go in, and we got a catcher set up for him to throw to at Camden Yards tomorrow.
When Mr. Hellickson is pitching well, what's he doing well?
Fastball, cutter, curveball, changeup, really plus changeup. That's all he's added, the cutter. And fastball, maybe not quite what it used to be, but whose is. But the changeup's always been a really good pitch for him, good arm speed on it, athletic guy, holds runners. Haven't seen him in a while, Joe. It's been about 3 or 4 years, and, you know, we'll see.
How tough would that be for him going – he's an American League guy. We went to the National League and now going back to the American League. Is that a tough transition?
Well, he spent a lot of time in American League East. That transition shouldn't be a challenge. The challenge will be having a DH instead of a pitcher in the lineup.
Yeah. Face 9 hitters instead of, what, 7. Thank you, Buck. Game 2 coming up in Texas.
Caleb Joseph and Jim Hunter – when we continue with a warm-up show right after this.
In Arlington, Texas, where, again, it is in the mid-90s as the Orioles and Rangers get set to play the middle game in this three-game series as the Orioles look to snap what is now a three-game losing streak. Caleb Joseph up next on the Orioles Radio Network.
Orioles and Rangers, game 2 of this three-game weekend series here tonight in Arlington. And, of course, it's a big, big weekend here because Ivan Pudge Rodriguez tomorrow is inducted into the National Baseball Hall of Fame at Cooperstown, visiting with Caleb Joseph. When you look back at Pudge's Hall of Fame career, not only the fact that he was a major leaguer at 19, which is remarkable, but the fact he lasted at that position 21 years. Is that in awe?
Yeah, it really is. I think I read a stat of him catching over 20,000 innings. And I've amassed, you know, parts of 4 seasons here and have only even clipped the surface of maybe 1,000 innings. So it really shows his endurance. It's really hard to do, really tough sport, really tough position. Amazing that he did what he did. I remember watching him grow up when I was growing up, and he was one of the premier backstops. Was really an offensive threat, and it's going to be pretty cool to be in the stadium that he played majority of his career in the day that he gets inducted.
When you're growing up, we all emulated players. Was he someone particular? He was very unique because he wasn't a big guy. Speed was a big part of his game. Was that something that you were able to emulate?
Yeah, I think everybody from the catching position, we loved really watching him throw, you know. I mean, he had an unbelievable arm. I think everybody tried to throw like Pudge, but very few could actually get to that level. He made tremendous throws from his knees, picking guys off. His caught stealing percentage was really incredible. But even premier base stealers, they didn't test Pudge. And he was just he was fun to watch. He was a dynamic player, a player that changed the game behind the plate, and it would be interesting to see where his value would lay in this day and age just because of the dynamic that he brought to the field every day.
Probably the biggest asset he had was his quickness, and that's something you can't teach. You either are quick or you're not.
Yeah, and to sustain that over 20-something years is absolutely incredible. He still, to me, looks like he's in great shape. He looks like he could probably play another 5 years if he wanted to. But I would love to sit down and talk to him just about how he went about his business in terms of preparing, catching over 20,000 innings. I mean, it's just unbelievable to me that you can play 20-something years in the big leagues and still be prepared and play at a very high level. It's very commendable. I know just watching Matt Wieters suit up and get ready every day for the past 3 or 4 years, knowing that he had caught 130, 140 a year, you add 15, 20 years, and then you get Pudge territory. You know, it's mind-boggling, really. It's a record. I'm not sure that any catcher will ever break this day and age.
And as demanding as the position is, as you well know, as a fellow catcher, it's got to be a sense of pride that one of your brethren is being enshrined. It's a tough position to get into the Hall of Fame as a catcher.
Yeah, it is. You know, Mike Piazza, I think he was just recently inducted, what, a couple of years ago maybe. What a great mustache that guy had. I mean, look, you know, it is tough because so many guys don't survive because injuries cut careers short. You look at the guys that really have stuck around for a really long time and their names are up there. They're always mentioned. But you never know. I mean, you're a foul tip away from something happening, and you're one crack of a knee away from something happening, and to stay healthy is really big. And of course, if you can do that, you know, and you can perform at a really high level, you have a chance. So I think it's probably out of my range now, you know, being 4 years in at 31, like you said, Pudge broke in at 19. I mean, it's pretty unbelievable, but yeah, what a great career he's had.
O's need a win. Kevin Gausman on the mound tonight. He's been pitching very, very well. You know him as well as anybody. What was the trigger that turned his season around?
Well, I think if you had one point, I'd be kind of foolish to talk about it, because you'd really want to go back and take back the first 15, 16 starts, you know. I mean, we've tried a lot with Kevin. He started off slowly, obviously, but, you know, he's really picked it up, and he did the same thing last year. Personally, I just think his fastball command has been so much better. When he has good fastball command, his split usually follows it, and it's like a broken record. The slider follows it as well. But I think in the past three or four starts, he's really thrown the ball with the fastball where he wanted to, especially up in the zone. Not many pitches have leaked back to the middle. And I told him, look, when you have a mile an hour range of like 90 to 100 potentially, that you could use that fastball and use that as five or six different pitches. So we've tried to do that. We've tried to implement that a little bit, and I think it's worked over the past three or four starts, and hopefully we'll continue that today.
Buck has been doing a really good job of getting you and Wellington in there so neither wear down, and all of a sudden you're swinging the bat really well, and I bet that's not a coincidence. Regular playing time, and you're seeing the ball well.
It helps. It absolutely helps. Last year was the first time that I really hadn't played, quote, regularly. Even when I came up in 14 and 15, I had regular starts, and it was a learning process and trying to figure out how does this work. You know, since I was 12 years old, I'd always played pretty much every day. And so figuring that out and then ironing some stuff out with Cool Ball and Howie, seeing the ball, getting regular playing time, and just trying to compete out there. And so far it's gone well, and hopefully we'll continue that tonight.
All right, hello again, baseball fans. Joe Angel, Jim Hunter back in Texas. In the win column tonight, they won the ball game 4-0. All about starting pitching. Kevin Gausman tonight, outstanding, as he winds up going 8 2/3 innings. So he came within one out of what would have been his first career 9-inning complete game shutout. He wins it 4-0. Zach Britton came out of the bullpen. He threw three pitches to pick up his 7th save. He's 7 out of 7 this season, and now with 56 consecutive saves to extend his own American League record. Turned out here tonight, the Orioles scored early to win the game when Trey Mancini homered with the bases empty in the second inning. That put him ahead to stay. Gave him a 1-0 lead in that second inning. But Kevin Gausman, 8 2/3 scoreless. No runs, 7 hits. He walked 3, 8 strikeouts. He threw 118 pitches. So his 5th consecutive victory. And now Kevin Gausman, a winning record on a losing team. 8 wins, 7 losses for Kevin Gausman so far this year. Gausman walked the leadoff hitter tonight in the first inning. And then Andrews, an infield single. And right away, Texas had runners on first and second with nobody out. But then Nomar Mazara came up to hit. Here's the 0-2 pitch. Ground ball to Davis. He'll backhand it. He's going to go to second one. As a return, Gausman covering. Got the double play. It goes 3-6-1. Good job there by Gausman to get to the bag. And on the run, glove it and find the bag. Outstanding work. And then Beltre, his first at bat tonight. Base runner at third base with 2 outs. Infield backed up. Nothing, bottom one. Gausman, a look at third. He delivers. Beltre, ground ball toward the hole. Tejada backhands it. Long throw and a bounce. Got him at first base. Davis, good stretch. Gloved it. Beltre is retired. So the Rangers had a walk and a single. They had 2 aboard, nobody out, and they do not score. So it was nothing going into the second inning when Trey Mancini came up as the leadoff hitter. 3-2 the count, and here it comes. Mancini, fly ball, left center. Well hit, and I mean it. Way back there, wave it, bye-bye, Trey Mancini. He goes boom, boom, into the seats in left center, beyond the Oriole bullpen. He got most of that one. His 17th home run, and it's a 1-0 Baltimore lead. About that, measured at 459 feet. Then with one out, second inning, Caleb Joseph came up to swing a bat. Here comes a 1-1 pitch. Caleb, fly ball into left center. This ball is traveling way back there. Mr. Joseph, wave it bye-bye. Number 5 for Caleb. And the Orioles have homered twice with the bases empty in the second inning. They've got a 2-0 lead. And it was 2-0 going to the bottom half of inning number three when Joey Gallo came up as the leadoff hitter for the Texas Rangers. And that's when Mr. Jones turned thief.
Osmond Diel swinging a high fly ball to center field and deep. Adam Jones back on it. At the wall. He reaches up and does he have it? He has it. He made the catch. Adam Jones just robbed Joey Gallo of a home run. He leaped up, he made the catch, and then stood there, and then eventually showed everybody the baseball. So Adam Jones takes one back as Joey Gallo is denied, and one out here in the Texas third inning.
Yeah, and I'm not sure that might be the best catch Adam Jones has ever made. And by then, the Orioles had a 3-0 lead because with two outs in the third, Seth Smith got a big hit.
And the pitch, Smith swings, line drive, base hit right field. Coming in the score is Davis. Smith comes through with two men down. Mancini will hold at second base. So Seth Smith joins the fun, an RBI single, a two-run inning, and a 4-0 Oriole lead.
Yeah, they go. Third inning, two runs on two hits, a 4-0 lead. Then Adam Jones made that catch. And then really the rest of the evening was keeping an eye on Adrian Beltre, who, when the game started, was at 2.998 in career hits. Well, in the fourth inning tonight, Beltre got a little bit closer.
And the pitch swinging a ground ball and a base hit in the left field. Beltre is one shy. 2,999 for Adrian Beltre.
But then Napoli grounded into a double play, and again, Gausman went unscathed in that fourth inning. In the fifth inning, two outs and the bases empty. Shin-Soo Chu got a base hit, and then Elvis Andrews came up to hit. Gausman again. Okay, is the sign. He's ready. He will set, and he will deliver. Elvis, fly ball, left field. Deep. Backing up those Mancini. He's got a beat on it. Reaches up, makes the catch. Just a bit shy of the warning track. So that does it for Texas in the fifth. They lead one. Kevin Gausman tonight, so far, five scoreless. There you go. Had a 4-0 lead. Then he came back, got him 1-2-3 in the sixth with two strikeouts. He got him 1-2-3 in the seventh with a strikeout. At that point, retired 7 in a row and 10 of 11. He came out for the eighth, and again, he got him 1-2-3. Chopper hit up the middle. Tejada's got it near the bag, and then off balance, throws it to get the out. How about Kevin Gausman? Another 1-2-3 in Texas tonight in 95-degree heat. He's gone 8 scoreless. He's had 8 strikeouts. Outstanding work by Kevin Gausman as he looks for a fifth consecutive victory. Indeed, he did come out for the bottom of the ninth inning, had a 4-0 lead. He walked the leadoff hitter, Nomar Mazara, but then Beltre came up to hit with one more chance tonight to get to number 3,000. Gausman got Beltre to hit into a 5-4-3 double play. So Beltre gonna have to wait at least until tomorrow afternoon. And then Napoli came up to hit. Gausman walked him. And then Odor hit a pop-up that somehow found a hole in shallow left center for a base hit. Buck came out, exit Gausman, enter Britton to try and get the save, and Britton wound up throwing just 3 pitches. Here comes the pitch. As a shot, one hopper, Scope has it. Back of second. He'll get the ball to Davis. Ball game is over, and the Orioles back in the win column as they beat Texas in game two of this 3-game series. Kevin Gausman, his fifth consecutive victory, goes 8 2/3 scoreless. And Zach Britton comes in, picks up his 56th consecutive save. He's chasing Eric Gagne. Yeah, he'll do that tomorrow. Britton, only 3 pitches, so he's available tomorrow. Should be a fun day tomorrow. Jim Hunter, in a moment, has got Buck Showalter and maybe some more post-game interviews when we continue in Texas on the Orioles Radio Network.
Jim Hunter back in Arlington where the Orioles shut out the Rangers 4-0 to get even in this series. So the Birds now with a chance to win the rubber game tomorrow, get a series, and go home 3-3 on the 6-game road trip. Today was game 2 in a stretch in which they played 20 consecutive games without a day off. And the story of this game, Kevin Gausman from the Orioles standpoint, 8 2/3 scoreless innings, came with him one out of his first 9-inning complete game. And following the game, Kevin Gausman joined Gary Thorne and Jim Palmer on Masson.
Kevin, congratulations on a magnificent performance tonight. I know how desperately you wanted to get that one more out, but you couldn't have done much more for the ball club. That's seven consecutive ball games now where you have pitched really well. You just feel like you're in a rhythm, Kevin?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, just kind of getting in my groove. And the biggest thing is getting deep into games, you know. Us starters have kind of been taxing our bullpen. So, you know, obviously I wanted to get that last out. And, you know, that's just kind of what happens sometimes. That's baseball. So it was unfortunate, but, you know, just try to grind and try to give those guys a day off. But, you know, came close.
You know, you talk about going deep in the game. To me, you know, Mazar gets, three doubles out over the plate yesterday. The big, you know, a walk, infield base hit, which was a little bit unlucky. And then I thought you made it probably the biggest pitch of the game just to get the double play. You did it three times, but you get the double play in the first.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we have a great defense, you know, and so those guys out there, I mean, they make plays every night that just kind of cease to amaze you. So you always feel confident anytime you get a ground ball that if there's a guy on base that, you know, you feel like you can roll a double play.
I have to ask you this, though. We were kind of smiling about this. When you came out after eight innings, you went right away from your skipper as quickly as possible. yeah, we were right. You did that on purpose, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. I wasn't getting anywhere near him. I was going to make him prod the ball from my hands for sure. You know, and you know, credit to him. He gave me a lot of chances in that ninth inning. You know, leadoff walk, most managers would go to the bullpen right there. So, you know, I think he kind of saw something to me tonight, and I was throwing the ball well, so, you know, you stay with the hot hand.
You know, this is now back-to-back years, and I know that you don't want this to happen, but where you struggle early, you know, maybe even more so this year, and then all of a sudden, I mean, you've won five in a row now, you did it last year. How do you do that?
You know, I don't really know. I wish I knew the answer to that. Then I'd be able to do it early in the season, too. But, you know, for me, I just feel like I get better as the season goes on. So my second half is always going to be better than my first. You know, I don't know if physically I feel better towards the end of the season. You know, I don't know. It's one of those freak things. But, you know, right now, obviously, I'm feeling good and feeling healthy. And this heat out here, you know, you get loose pretty quick.
Great job, Kevin. We appreciate it. Thanks for the time and congratulations on the W.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So Kevin Gausman off 8 2/3 scoreless innings tonight. He is now 5-0 in his last seven starts, and he gave the Orioles a big boost here tonight pitching into the ninth. Time to hear from the skipper. Now let's head downstairs. Post-game comments. Buck Showalter is with Gary Thorne.
Buck, for Kevin, some sustained outings and maybe none better than this one.
No, I tell you, all the circumstances, hot and good ball club. Kevin was outstanding. You know, we got to catch that fly ball. Really, really grates on you because, you know, that's a ball that needs to be caught. And, you know, we didn't catch it. I felt horrible having to take him out of the game, but as far as he needed to go.
We kind of smiled when he came out after the eighth inning. He disappeared.
I disappeared too.
Noticed that.
I told him after the seventh inning, I told Roger just to give him a little flyby, we call it, and I said, I got to go back out unless you think differently. So after the eighth, Roger looked at me, I said, same way, do it again.
Yeah. What was it tonight so effective for him?
Command of the fastball. You know, he got some strikeouts on the inner half. I thought he had a good feel for both all speed pitches the whole game, and Caleb and him did a great job of knowing when to slow him down and when to speed him up, and they had some really good sequences of pitches.
Adam's catch?
Special, you know, and you don't take it for granted. You know, he came in, everybody was congratulating him, and, you know, after he had an at bat he didn't really like, you know, he comes back down. I said, Adam, he looks at me, he goes, what? And I go, nice catch.
The double plays, too. I mean, they almost make them look easy, and they're not.
Those are big plays, too. Man, he got an in-between hop. He knew if he backed up on it, he wouldn't get two, and he comes in and takes a short hop. And John, you know, Chris made a good play at first base on the tail end of that, but they make them look routine, and I'm telling you, there's just not people doing that on both ends of it.
Any update on Hellickson? Is he okay?
I haven't heard anything negative, and so we're expecting him to, be in Baltimore shortly, hopefully tomorrow or for sure Monday.
Okay. Buck, thanks.
All right, thank you.
So Buck Showalter following the Orioles 4-0 win to get even in this series, and the Orioles are now 5-1 against the Rangers in the season series.